Hello, hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, you have
and it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween, listeners. How are you? So, Courtney.
Yes, Courtney.
First question, how the hell did you get to the couch today?
Well, by way of the freaking beach, which was so much better 2 days ago.
Insane. So, for our listeners, we did not have an episode last week, as Courtney and myself were technically last Thursday at Nikki's not-so-scary Halloween party in the Magic Kingdom.
We can go today.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. So Courtney and I and her husband and three daughters all went to Disney World for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty fun.
It was pretty much perfection. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I get to interview you a little bit about Disney World. All
right. Okay.
You know, just a few little questions.
Yeah.
So, like, before you went, what did you think it was going to be? Like, Disney World, like, the whole thing.
I pretty much thought it was going to be exactly what it was, except I don't think I had a good enough vision for how far apart everything was.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not that I assumed that, like, the Magic Kingdom was, like, right on top of Epcot or anything. I just didn't think that it was, like, 20 minutes by car. Like, couldn't possibly.
That property is so big.
It's so big. Yeah.
Yeah. And once you go into those gates, like, once we went into it, we never left the property, and we drove all around that.
Right, yeah. And for a lot of time driving. Like, they're not close at all. Because, like, a 20-minute drive has to be, like, you couldn't walk that in 4 hours. Like,
right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you got to worry about the gators.
Yes, there are alligators
Florida.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't occur to me how vastly far apart they are. And it makes sense because you have to have, like, noise control around each one. But that was probably the thing that was most surprising, was how far away everything was from each other. You know?
I have watched that sort of Walt Disney World Resort is technically its title of Disney World, you know. Whenever I first went there as a kid, Animal Kingdom didn't exist yet.
Right.
So I remember when Disney World added that fourth park.
Mm-hmm.
Because technically where we stayed, which was All-Star Movies, but Movies I don't really think was built yet, the All-Stars were technically part of what was MGM Studios before they changed it to Disney Studios.
Mm-hmm.
So those... in Disney World, for the listeners who don't know, they sort of assign resorts to a park. So you can kind of say, I'm staying, you know, at the Animal Kingdom's properties, you know, or whatever. And that sort of allows for the bus system, probably some larger navigation to figure out where they all go. Because that bus system is huge, too.
It is
like,
crazy.
They have their own fleet of transportation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of transportation. It's not like a small amount. Because you have, because now then they've added, since even the last time you were there, the gondolas, the sky gondolas. And then there's the boats. And then there's the monorail.
Yep.
And then there's the buses.
Yeah.
And then there's the minivan.
They are. Yeah. I think the minivans are really good if you are staying on a property or something and you like have dinner reservations or like,
right.
to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the bus system, although pretty reliable,
yeah.
I would say that they are... It is a strong matrix of a system, but there are just sometimes that you just aren't there.
Right.
So you just,
well, you don't have to wait on all the people, or if you have a very big party, and sometimes that's, you know, I mean, even with six of us, there were times where we had to be like, are all of us getting on this bus, or are we going to break up? Like, is that going to be a thing?
And it's crazy how much, like, standing you do on a bus. Like, they have you in there, like,
sergeants for sure. Mm-hmm.
And it works, you know. I've never seen so many people be okay with standing, as you sort of said, from like the Magic Kingdom to our resort. It's like a 25-minute drive.
Oh yeah.
And you don't really even think about the fact that you just stand.
Well, and strangely, that's the other thing, is that I had like over prepared myself for the amount of walking, but I hadn't necessarily prepared myself for the amount of standing. Because that actually hurt my body worse than the walking. Like, I could have walked for hours on end and not thought anything about it, but, like, my knees, because I'm a lady, were, like, by the end of the night, it was the standing that actually hurt me more than the walking. Like, we did, on average, I would say probably 20 to 23,000 steps
a day. I was averaging about 23,000 steps a day.
Yeah. I think there was one day that I did less because I did not stay with you guys at Animal Kingdom for the whole day. So I think I did, like, 18,000 that night, or that by that day. But, you know, on average, and that's a lot with kids. I mean, I cannot, the people who do that with kids that are younger than Violet, I forget about it. Like, there's no, she was questionably young.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't bring a stroller. There's nothing that stressed me out more than looking at all that stroller parking. It's freaking out.
Yeah.
But I'm also not that kind of mom. Like, I didn't really use a stroller here. And, you know, I mean, a stroller's just
your
not something.
Your kids were pretty good.
They were, yeah.
I would say they hit an A.
Yeah.
You know, they were a strong 90%. I mean, it's a change. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's a marathon.
But I will also say that I appreciated the fact that, like, I was anticipating because we did 4 days at Disney, 4.5 days at Disney.
And by the way, our music is sponsored by Ghostbusters Radio.
It's our Apple Music. It's being good to us today. I believe this is a little Thriller. We won't do all the choreography.
Not all of it, but we did do it at Cosmic Rays.
We did join a Cosmic Rays.
So let's just go through each day, just a couple of little clips.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, let's just play. So day one, we flew out on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids were great on the flight.
They were.
That was amazing.
They were just as good on the way home. And
yeah.
Isabel, I wasn't worried about. She's been on planes a couple of times. Violet had been on a plane previously to Florida, but she was an infant. She was still nursing, so I could just be like, oh, you're a turtle, stick a food in your mouth. And it was fine, you know. So I was a little worried about how she was going to react. But she was great. She was so good.
She was so good.
And we flew direct, so we didn't have to deal with changing or anything like that. We flew later, we didn't fly super early in the morning, so there was not a lot of lining there. I think everybody was just really excited. So.
And then you got off the plane down on the Magic Express. Pretty fun, right?
Yeah.
I love their transportation. Like, they really do try to kiss you with the magic the
absolutely.
Second you get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We got to the hotel, and we checked into our rooms, and we got our stuff dropped off, and we headed over to Disney Springs, which is super fun.
We grabbed lunch, right? Did we grab a bite to eat before we went down to Disney Springs? I feel like we needed to eat.
Maybe we ate.
I had chicken.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We grabbed a snack and then hopped on the bus and headed down to Disney Springs. Disney Springs has definitely morphed over the years. It used to be called Downtown Disney, and then about, I'll say, 3-4 years ago, they changed to Disney Springs because they wanted to sort of transform. And in the best Disney way, they wanted to make up a fake town that potentially all of this Disney World can be built around.
Right.
You know, like, so it was a watering town. So anyway, that was great. We went to the biggest, Disney store,
I ended up, I think, at Disney Springs 4 times before we left. If you include that time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that experience. Because you get all of the magic, but you don't necessarily, it's still busy, but you don't necessarily have the same kind of crowds, because there's not attractions, there's not characters, there's not, you know what I mean, it's just shopping.
It
basically,
is.
It's on-track Disney shopping, like, where, you can get your normal, like, there's a freaking, regular store there, too, but it was kind of, it was a nice little, like, and here's your intro, this is Disney Life.
And you can use your magic bands there. Magic bands are your room, they're your credit card, and they're the key to the park. It's a one-stop shop. They want to eliminate all of the stress that you might have. They don't want you to have a wallet. It also makes you spend quicker.
It does make you spend, but it also is, like, it's also really handy because you can't, it didn't occur to me, maybe even until, like, right now, but you don't have any theft. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way. You have a pin, but, like, you can't, I did not have my wallet on me until we got to the beach. So, at all. It just stayed in my room.
It's hard
so, like, nobody
to
could.
My wallet.
Exactly. And I'm not a drinker, so I didn't need to, like, have my ID or anything like that. Like, that was just
interesting.
Oh, interesting. They just assume you're being honest.
They are just assuming that you are being honest, and I think that if you pay with your magic band,
if you're old enough. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
That's another layer of sort of research I want to do, but I have never been
present. Okay, alright, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, so...
But it used to be that you couldn't really drink anywhere. Like, you can't drink from the Magic Kingdom unless you go to the Yard Rest. It would be the entire beer in there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
I think that the way that Disney has set that up, you can buy something that's in the back of your room.
That's so nice. And it's so wonderful to, like, be able to... I came home to things that I bought and I thought... And I didn't have to worry about her. And they're like wrapping job on those. The amount of packing. Like, and thank God, because the things I got were very fragile. I think I'm going to kind of redo my Ofrenda this weekend after Halloween's over. And I can kind of give due justice to my Saturday event. And then I think we're going to do the Nekos at the Nelson on Sunday.
Yeah.
So yes, I have really beautiful museums for, and quite honestly, it's such a whirlwind that I had kind of forgotten what all of them looked like until I started unpacking them last night. So so the first day, so we did that, and then we came home and
we
didn't get to swim that first night.
Second night, woke up as early as we could. Because that was our Magic Kingdom day. But that day was going to be cut short because we not only did we have reservations for Rainforest Cafe in Disney Springs that night, but Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Whenever they have those, they kick out all of the normal guests if you haven't purchased your extra pass to the party, and that happens at 6. So not only does that sort of make your day be concentrated, but also a lot of people don't like to buy tickets to the park on that day because they get kicked out so early.
It did feel very light that day by comparison to the rest of the parks. It was not as busy. It was pretty hot that first day.
It was hot.
It was
that
foggy.
Thing, ladies and gentlemen. I need to post some photos from my vacation. I haven't, which I might get to at the end of this summer, on a little bit of that. But it is the first time I've ever seen the Magic Kingdom almost completely fogged over.
Yeah,
when
couldn't
we got
really
there,
see
you couldn't see anything. So what an because I believe in the Disney magic, I have been there 20 times and never seen that. So I had a true first time experience with you all who are having a first time experience.
Right, like walking in on Main Street, you couldn't really see the castle until you got up on it. But then, like, really once you got up on it, you still couldn't see the top of it.
We caught a little quick little Main Street show right when we walked in.
We did right when we walked in.
A little hello.
The girls did the Bippity Boppity Boutique, which was fun and magical. And so they changed. We all had our matching shirts, but then they changed pretty quickly. And you guys took off to go to Space Mountain, is that right?
Yes.
While we were Bippity Boppity Boppity.
I had a great time with Alex and Riley sort of on some of those more adult, like, runaway moments, because Riley's kind of a scaredy pants in the best way. And so it was so fun to kind of be like, come on, like, get on this ride. I think we all had a lot of fun on that.
Yeah, it was good.
What was your favorite ride that first day?
Day one. I think watching the kids on Peter Pan's Flight or Haunted Mansion, because that's my jam. I enjoyed the Haunted Mansion a great deal. And those were probably my favorite rides in the whole deal.
Although
I enjoyed Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, I love Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
And
I had a lot of preconceived notions because people were like, oh, Small World's going to be terrible and this, that, and whatever. And, I was just like, it's all lovely, though. Like, it's, you know what I mean?
It
like,
is.
I don't know if I ever go back if I need to do it to Small World again.
And I think maybe there's some of the psychology is after going 20 times,
right,
you sort of almost feel like you have to do things just because for, like, nostalgia reasons.
Right.
So I feel like, to your point, Small World gets a bad rap sometimes because people are like, I gotta do it because I'm here.
Sure.
And it's a pretty simple ride, but it's still crazy that some of those puppets have been doing that for 50
that
years.
That is true.
You're
yes.
like, you're like, how at the boat been spitting water for 50
Yeah, and
years.
It's a very annoying song, so I get it. Like, I understand that notion. Because, like, the rest of the rides that are set up similar, like, I assume that's the model for what, like, Ariel's Grotto and all, those basic kinds of things, what all of those are, it's the only one that the song doesn't change as you go through. And so I get that notion. But yeah, I thought it was all just a bit lovely. You know, it was all.
Did you like Pirates?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had Isabel was like squeezing me even into her life on some of those the parts of that. Because that's not a movie that she knows either. Like, she doesn't have any frame of reference on that. So
and that ride has changed over the last couple of years because they used to, I mean, you only wrote it once, but there's a woman in a red dress who is in sort of like the market scene in the middle, and it used to be that the pirates were selling her, like she was a prostitute, and there was a famous line that said from one of the pirates in it that says, "We want the redhead." And they're like literally auctioning her off. And so when they did the ride, but that's a little time warp.
It is a little time warp.
But whenever they redid the ride, they made the woman in the red dress sort of the captain of that moment. And so she's the one who's sort of selling the auction. So, you know, there's been a lot of debate on should they have changed that, you know, because like, which might even open up a different conversation for a different time of like, well, if they're representing a certain time period, do they keep that? But then they're also just like, they don't want these little girls and boys that are coming in.
Something.
Yeah, like I know that Disney doesn't do anything probably without 500 people weighing in on. But that was such a big change because although I appreciate them being like, hey, you know, women shouldn't be sold without their consent. It was such a part of that story that these pirates were kind of bad people. And you know, it's just so weird. So every once in a while you can catch a t-shirt in the park or something with a woman on it that says we want the redhead, and it's a fun little thing. Anyway, I love pirates. I love Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom is definitely probably the most magical place on earth.
Sure.
You know, because you get all of the characters and you get all the little, you know, easy rides and and that's where a lot of the originals, like, rides are. Like, the ones that Disneyland has, they put all of those rides at the Magic Kingdom. And Cinderella's Castle is just... It's a delight. So then we went to Rainforest Cafe that night. Delicious. Great meal.
Yeah, inside the volcano.
Then went back and swam.
We did some swimming.
We got to do a little swimming that night, which was
fun. Alex's waterproof camera out.
Which you can put the phone in the water. Yep. It's just you have to have patience whenever it dries out.
Yes, the iPhone 11 will go completely... be submerged, but you do have to realize that if your port is not completely dry when you try to charge it, it's not going to charge. And then we woke up pretty early and did Epcot,
but we had a character breakfast that morning.
We did have a character breakfast, and that was probably my favorite part just because the kids were adorable. And even Riley, my big kid, was adorable because
with Ariel for
she was so it was a fun little time. You know, it's
I
nice.
I love
like
character
they,
breakfasts.
Yeah, they did a great job of, like, it's a huge space, but you felt intimate.
And it was one of my favorite character breakfasts that I've ever gone to because normally I just love the presentation that they brought, like, the bacon and all of this stuff and plopped it in the middle of our table because normally you have to go, and that's on the buffet line. So I really sort of enjoyed that family
because you had never been to the place that
I had never been to that Epcot character breakfast. I don't think I've ever done a character breakfast at Epcot. So, and I think that's relatively new because that princess breakfast used to be, I believe, those all were part of the Magic Kingdom Royal Court character breakfast.
Right.
But I think they still have that. I just think that one has, like, Cinderella and like the stepsisters and like the fairy godmother in it because at the Magic Kingdom that Cinderella is house. Because I've done that one back in the day where it was all of the princesses inside of the Magic Kingdom and that's just really cool. But yeah, Epcot was a pretty cool place. That was our longest day. That was the place that we were there from opening till closing.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a food and wine festival, so it was a fun group of, like, adults. All the, you know, it wasn't a ton of, like, little kids, which I feel like it was, obviously, in the Magic Kingdom. That was nice, you know. I mean, it was still obviously like
it's
kids.
Hot. It's hot in that
It was hot. It was
There's
very
no
hot.
That's where Matt and I created the 1 p.m. breakdown. Like, adults and kids, everyone starts to break down at, like, 1 p.m. Because you're just like, It was so hot.
it was definitely very, very hot the whole time we were there. But I really loved Epcot. Mm-hmm. I think I don't ever need to go back to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Really, probably ever again. I will, but I did not do the...
Until your kids are ready to ride more rides,
right.
That place is pretty small on that.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people that do, like, their half days of Animal Kingdom,
which is what we did. Yeah.
Because the day that we went, the next day, we did Animal Kingdom, and then we had Mickey's Halloween party. So me and the little girls peaced out early enough to get them a nap because we knew we were going to be in the Magic Kingdom until like midnight.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was like, my kids have been pretty good. They were pretty good at Epcot. They were pretty good. Yeah. But they were tired.
We kept them active at Epcot. It was that last couple of hours at Epcot was a push. Because we also wanted to see the fireworks.
Right. Well, and you have more opportunity for breaks there of like, let's go sit in this country for a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not as like, I don't know that unless you're in a restaurant, there's as many places in like the Magic Kingdom to be like, let's just go sit.
Yeah.
You know? So we were able to take some good long, like, we sat in Italy for a long time. We sat in France for a while. We sat, you know, I mean, we did those kinds of things.
Which was your favorite country?
It is a toss up between. I really had a great time in Italy. I love Mexico.
Mexico is my favorite. I think it's the most polished land. Like, that's the one that I completely feel immersed in when I go into.
Well, because I think it's because you go inside as opposed to, not that there isn't
stuff outside.
But it's
also the smallest land, too, when you think about it.
I had a really good time in China. Is that maybe where, maybe it was Japan.
China is where Alex and the girls watch the routine.
Okay, then it's Japan.
Yeah.
That also is kind of inside, and you're in that big temple. I think that across the board, if I was, like, somebody who was in Orlando, I would go to Epcot, like, just me and my husband.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know what I mean?
And like, a lot of people kind of do thing. That. Yeah. We saw that. A lot of people almost arriving at, like, 7, 8 o'clock for dinner.
Right.
I have grown to really love Epcot just because there are so many different cultural things to do there.
Well, and the coolest part that I did not know is all the programs so that every single place that you go actually has people within it that are from that country. And so I really loved that aspect of, like, being in Norway and being, like, all of these people that are working with you and working
for
you are from Norway. Like, that's a really cool program. And
I think that, to that point, I just think that that is something so simple to do, to organize that, to say, look, you know, because Disney is, for all intents and purposes, like, the mecca of happiness.
Sure.
So when you're there, I mean, It's a Small World is literally the point of it, that we are all, I always just kind of feel like when I'm on It's a Small World, it's always fun to do that first and then go to Epcot, like, the next day or something, because I feel like we're in It's a Small World in real life.
Sure, yeah.
Like, you just are walking around. It's almost like I wish that was playing quietly
throughout the whole thing, yeah. But I thought it was really cool that, like, then you really get, like, these amazing artisans that are doing, you know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was on my journey to make sure that, you know, my kids were celebrating Dia de Muertos and that that was going to be part of our celebration of life. And that I was really trying to make sure that I was culturally appreciating as opposed to appropriating. I loved that I could go somewhere and physically watch these beautiful artisans painting albrejes and doing, like, these really intricate, amazing work. And that they were from those countries and that I was making sure that I was not contributing to, like, I'm going to go to Amazon and buy a bunch of sugar skulls. I'm actually buying from
the community. Well, that's, in Mexico is where I had the conversation just about the fact of what is the fine line between appropriation and appreciation. And Alex, I think, sort of, you know, was stemming on part of that conversation, too, on just being like, when do you, like, I obviously the drunk girl in Mexico wearing the sombrero is not appreciating.
Right.
But aren't they? I mean, like, you can stretch it to a certain line of saying.
I think it's the mockery, I believe. I mean, that's what, from, you know, it's, that's how I always put it out there is that, you know, my culture is not a costume. my culture or something. If I'm going into a synagogue and, you know, and I'm with you or with Alex or whatever, I expect that upon entering you put on a yarmulke because that is what you're supposed to do when in a place of worship.
Unless for some reason that is a complete disregard to your own religion. Like, I have those conversations, you know, conversations.
Sure, sure.
Like,
you don't have to.
You don't have
necessarily,
to. Necessarily.
But it is what's expected.
But if it doesn't, for all intents and purposes, if it doesn't mean anything to you, mm-hmm. why not?
Then what is it? Right. What does it matter if it's respectful
respect
to
it.
The people? Right.
Yeah.
I am never going to be somebody who puts on a rosary as a necklace. That's not something
right.
that I'm willing to do because it's not a necklace. I was raised Catholic, so it's just weird to me, but it also doesn't mean anything to me because I'm no longer a practicing Catholic, but that doesn't mean that I can just be insulting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because it does mean something to someone else. And so, you know, but should you then go and have a collection of yarmulkes because that's what you're wearing on Crazy Hat Day at school? No.
No.
That's not what you know,
you should,
those are the
yes.
difference, in my
but
opinion.
But the people there were talking just sort of about the idea that, hey, at some point, like, if you are enjoying our culture,
mm-hmm.
please do it. I mean,
right.
you know, they
mm-hmm.
Disney also has to also be the sort of sometimes the conversation on what we're allowed to talk about in some way. You know, I mean, like, because Disney has always been so, like, LGBT, like, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm. and, like, so to still have sombreros or, like, rice hats in Epcot
mm-hmm.
is there has to be a more global conversation inside of that world
Absolutely.
That says
mm-hmm.
that why those things are allowed to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, because...
Well, sombrero is a traditional hat.
Yeah.
Should you, you know, post yourself on Instagram in a giant, you know, whatever, and be all like, hey, you know, here we are being, like, assholes about it,
yeah.
as opposed to, like, what does this mean if you don't have any information, if you don't have any knowledge as to why a sombrero exists, which I don't either, so that's why I'm not continuing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sort of thing. A rice hat exists because this is what you would wear to protect yourself from the sun.
But
while
the fact
out,
that they sell
you know,
them and let's say, white people
mm-hmm.
buy them, I believe, like, there's a conversation that takes place there.
Sure.
That they're just, because... I can't imagine Disney being okay with perpetuating those race,
mm-hmm.
you know, racism things, even though it seems like it.
But everything
when you're
you
there.
Get comes with information.
It does.
And that's, you know, that's the one thing that when
Which
I opened
Epcot
my
is about
giant,
learning.
Right,
yeah.
absolutely. Every single one of my things that I got in Mexico and everything that it has an informational card
yeah.
and that you're learning and then you're not perpetuating the notion that there's some sort of joke about
yeah.
your culture.
But essentially
you know?
They all said, hey, you're not telling us to get the hell out of the country, so
right.
thank you. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Trumpism, racism is part of what they're all sort of scared about too there in some ways, of
mm-hmm.
just being like, well, because these people who live there, who are maybe on a program or whatever from a different country, it's not like they don't watch the news. Like
right.
it's not like they don't realize that there are. It's not that they don't realize that there are racist people out there
right. mm-hmm.
who are also probably looking at some of these people in Epcot,
sure.
being like, "You don't belong here."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I love that. Like, I didn't see that. You don't see any of that, and
yeah.
I don't know if that's just because people keep it to themselves
right.
or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
like, everyone seemed to be getting along. Like, I never had a really. asshole moment with really anyone.
No, I think probably the only asshole moments that I saw kind of universally are the people who expect too much out of their kids and want to be an asshole to their kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, stop kicking the seat or stop doing, you know, I mean, like, because also, like, I'm a parent, so, like, you don't have to stop kicking my seat, kid. It's 11 p.m. and you've been out here in the heat just like I have. I'm exhausted as well.
Right.
And if the only way you know how to communicate that is by kicking your legs, kick your legs, babe. Like, because I don't expect that kind of shit out of my kids. You know what I mean? It's not like a pull your shit together. They don't know how to do that. They're
right.
fucking five or whatever. You know, I'm like...
They're exhausted.
Exactly. Like that woman that you gave up your seat to, like, that just kept apologizing, and I'm just like, that is a little baby. Like, she's
right.
not, like, a tiny baby, but she was probably,
well,
like,
I'm
two.
Not holding a child.
Right.
I can stand.
Right. Well, it's just, like, you know, I mean, like, and it's a really weird culture that we've perpetuated with that whole, like, you have to apologize for your children kind of thing. One, because there are assholes who think that you do, and two, because it's some weird mom guilt thing that you feel like you have to just be like, oh my god, I'm sorry, my kid's
yeah.
touching you, and I'm just like, they don't know, though. Like, every time, you have to remember that, like, everything that they're doing could be the first time they're doing it.
Yeah.
And so remember what that must feel like. And it could be the first time that they're up until midnight and they're tired. Like, that's okay. I'm tired.
I just, you know? I think I appreciate at least the acknowledgement that, you know, not that, like, you allow your kid just to...
Sure, to go willy-nilly. You're right. Yeah, but like, that's what I mean, is I'm okay with people apologizing. It's the people who then are, like, yelling at their kids. And I'm just you are expecting that. And that's the only...
My least favorite thing is when someone hits someone and says, stop hitting your sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. What did you... What, you just hit them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. What are they, what are they supposed to be learning from this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can see sometimes the worst of humanity in there as well.
Right.
Because there are times that people are having the most magical time of their lives, mm-hmm. and sometimes the most stressful. Like...
But I think that's the part that's the apologizing, is like, you're the one that's creating this stress.
Yes.
Because the baby screaming doesn't bother me. You screaming at the baby to stop screaming bothers me.
Like, what was that? That the kid was screaming that we went on.
I remember what you're talking. Maybe the first time we were on Peter Pan, Winnie the Pooh, maybe? I don't know. Somebody's sitting right behind us.
But yeah, but it wasn't... What was it? Was it Pirates? It
might have been Pirates. I don't know.
It was something that had to be
something.
No, it had to be something that was big enough that we were all
there were six
in
of us.
Oh,
in
Frozen.
There. Oh, yes.
Yeah, the Frozen ride. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point you're like, please don't scream through this whole thing. I've waited all day. But then at the other point, I'm like,
right.
I know what you're not doing is pinching your kid to cry more.
Right, exactly.
So,
well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's the only reason that adults start yelling is because they have some sort of like, oh my God, it's embarrassing that this is happening.
Yes.
But if you just remove the embarrassing, and just, like, realize that, like, kids cry.
Yeah.
And realize that everyone around you knows that kids cry. Then you're probably going to handle it in a much different way. Because the problem is when you start to get amped like that, then the kid starts... You know, I mean, I remember my pediatrician telling me once when Iz invited... Maybe it was Iz. One of the two of them was, like, really young. That they were like, actually, the best thing you can do when they're having a meltdown is start whispering. Because then they start getting quieter to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, you know, as opposed to raising your voice, just be like, you know, and that, like,
that
actually
down.
Calms right. them down to be like, hold on, I've got to be quiet enough to hear what that person is saying.
Oh, you mean using parenting tools? Yeah.
Yes, there's that.
But yeah, and also, we talked about it a few times, there's a lot of people who are there maybe for their first and only time in their mm-hmm. lives. And so there's also, I think... And something I sometimes even have to kind of keep in check when I'm there is, like, don't put all of the pressure on this being the most magical time because mm-hmm. at some point it's not.
Well,
like,
and also remember that they're kids, and so the things that happened earlier that day, like, they've forgotten about. Like,
yeah.
I remember asking my kids on one of the last days, it couldn't have been the actual last day because we were out too late that night, but being like, what was your favorite part of the day? And they were both like, swimming. And I'm like, what? You literally had breakfast with Belle? And they were like, oh yeah, that. And I'm like,
yeah.
Right, but swimming was the last thing you did. So that's the thing you remember.
Yeah, so
like,
your mind says that.
It's
fun. So do you believe that Disney World is a place for, you know, just adults? Like, do you think that adults should just be able to go there? Or
absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Or I mean, whatever that
it's
article
for whoever
was
the fuck
about.
Wants to go.
Yeah.
Like, those people that are just like, man, because then, like, don't even get me started on the Karens of the entitlement of, like, you got the last fucking Mickey ice cream thing and my kid wanted it or whatever. Like, yes, you're going to be in line. You're going to just prepare yourself for all of the, you're going to be in line for a long fucking time.
There are times that you are in line
and,
for a long
time. Right, a long fucking time. And, like, and that just has to be part of your trip. Like,
yes.
You just have, because I'm not stressed, like that. Like, I'm not a human who's like, oh my God, this is terrible. You know,
I think
take kids that are that young.
Right.
Like, there's not a chance. I actually think that Violet was bordering on too young. But what I didn't want was for Isabel to get too old before I could, you know what I mean?
I think you picked the right first time.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. Yeah. I think that waiting in line and maneuvering humans in
mm-hmm.
Disney World is one of the healthiest things I can do in life, because I just don't get annoyed with lines and, like,
mm-hmm.
gobs of people literally running into you
mm-hmm.
in life. Like,
well,
it's
yeah.
almost like I prepare myself for the holidays, where I'm just like,
if you're there to experience magic, and if you allow yourself to understand that everyone is there to experience magic, no matter what age they are, no matter what, you know, no matter what the scenario.
Even if you push a kid out of the way to meet Tigger.
Even if you do that, that didn't, may or may not have happened.
That
absolutely
happened. It's the only time, but for real, I was like, move, kids.
And you just realize that no matter what, Disney wants everybody to be happy.
Yeah, the happier you are, the more you'll spend. I mean,
you're gonna get it. You're gonna get there. Yeah. Like you're gonna get to the front of that line.
Yeah.
The ride is gonna come back, the whatever it is, and just don't let it stress you, because then how could you possibly enjoy the magic? Mm-hmm. Is it just for the picture? Because like, I don't get that. And then when you've got them that they're too tired, Violet could not have been more excited to meet Merida. And we got there and she was like, you get me away from this person.
But at some
like,
point, I thought
she
that
was mortified.
So cool because she believed that yes, was Merida.
She was
so that she
mortified.
Was so nervous to uh-huh. meet someone that she knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Same way I feel when I see Tigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we met Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
The Vanellope was really good for my kids because they really do love that movie. We have watched a lot of Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably show them Wreck-It Ralph because they've never seen that, so that they have some, you know.
The character meet and greets are fun
background.
Because I really do. I mean, obviously, the character breakfast is very one on one, but mm-hmm. I love it's, I want to call it, you know, my parents and maybe Matt, if you listen to this, can maybe help vouch for this. But I remember one year, like, these adults were so frustrated that, like, the line was taking so long mm-hmm. to meet one of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And not acknowledging the fact that each person who goes up there to meet, like, we'll just take Tigger.
Yeah, this is their 2 seconds. Like,
they're giving them
time.
A minute to, like, so it's not just a, hi, you know, like, you're at Comic-Con mm-hmm. and you're, like, mm-hmm. waving. Like, literally, they're trying to play with you and give you those memories. So I always got so, like, frustrated by people who were like, well, this needs to go faster. And I'm like, until you're up there, and don't you then want your 90
seconds? And that's
the
only thing I will say about the adults, is that I did see that there were a lot of adults, is like, you can come here all you want to and do the magic, but you don't get to complain just like the kids don't get to complain. Like, you don't get to be a bitch in line where you're just like, you can't be that human. Like,
no.
You have to be patient like everybody else, especially because this may be this kid's only time, one and only time to meet Mickey. Give him 5 fucking minutes
and
shut your trap about it.
Right. Like, they will sit and talk to you for as long as you want. Merida was hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
She was hanging out with us.
She was trying to let Vi come to her senses, but she could not. She could not handle herself. She was like, oh my god, that's it. That is Merida right there, and I cannot. She could not process it.
What did you think of that Halloween party at Magic Kingdom with the castle and the fireworks and the projections?
It was very fun. It was the only time I experienced my own crowd anxiety.
Uh-huh. That was during Hocus Pocus, right?
Because people were just touching me. Like, and I'm just like, I understand that we're all here to do this thing, but, like, you have to stop touching me. There's, like, a guy that just continually ran over my foot with his giant stroller, and he did not speak English, which is totally okay, but then that just meant he was yelling no at me every time I was like, hey, could you cut that out? Because you're just, like, rolling massively with this huge stroller over my toes.
I hate strollers. Burn
me. And, like, you cannot stand in this crowd with a stroller and then expect to be, like, right up on a person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the only time I can keep that shit in check, but I was like, you have to stop touching me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. It could have been that for me, I experienced it during that time because it was dark, and so I couldn't see who was touching me, and that freaks me out. But it was the only time that I felt like, get off of me.
Yeah. And I would say that the crowds were half of what they normally are, like, because everyone wants to see mm-hmm. those fireworks.
Right. And they are beautiful. That was the only time that I couldn't do it. Everything was lovely. I had a great time that night. It was great because it was cooler.
Yeah.
And so it was fun to be
able
to,
like,
saw
Uncle Matty.
Go back and do other things. That was the night we got to do the People Mover. That was, you know, there were definitely, like, things we got to hit again. The line queue of Peter Pan's Flight, because we skipped that before since we fast passed it. It was super fun.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah. Those sorts of things were great. But yeah, during the fireworks and the parade especially, I was just like, I need everybody to stop touching me.
Yeah.
I could not. And I knew that was just me, and I was like, everybody else is fine, so I'm just gonna, you know,
back up
and I will be further away, and that's totally fine with me too.
It was fun.
But
it just happened so quick. Disney just happens so quickly when you're like, oh, I spent 13 hours at Epcot. And you're like, yeah, that was, I don't spend 13 hours anywhere, you know?
No. Except for here, during Sky Superstar.
Right. So then Maddie showed up that night, on Thursday night after the Halloween party.
That's right.
We got a change of the guard, because then Riley got on the plane or bus the next morning at like 6 a.m. We all woke up, Maddie got, and then we went to Disney Springs that day.
We did.
Before we went to the beach.
Disney before going, driving on to the beach, yeah.
Yeah, and the beach was amazing.
It was lovely. I haven't truly disconnected like that for...
I went to a zero.
Yeah.
There was a moment I went to a zero.
Right, like everything was just completely chill, relaxed, nothing was stressful, nothing was anything.
It was like 7:30 and we were like...
Right.
We should go to bed.
We should go to bed. Yeah, exactly. But then we realized we were on the beach, and so hell no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That was the best part about this vacation, was that everything stayed kind of at a norm, where I expected yesterday when the kids went back to school to be just a disaster. But really, we didn't sleep in. We didn't, you know, I mean, the kids stayed up late, but not really.
Yeah.
Only those couple times in the parks, we didn't really stay up late at the beach at all. It was... lovely. It was complete like reset of
It is hard for me to be back into even some sort of like social media or really connection with the world, because I'm just like I just went to nothing. Like,
well, and we had a series of things. I mean, we were talking yesterday where it was like, you know, at this month was, you know, we started with some kind of chaos at school, and then we were in Superstar, and that was chaos in its own.
And then Jessica and Nick got married.
And then, well, we didn't. I mean, we went from that to then we went and had the kids at Dear Evan Hansen, which is a whole own talking about its social media thing. And then, yeah, we went straight into Nick and Jess getting married, and then straight into leaving. And then we're back, and this is the last day of the month. Yeah. And it was just like thing after thing after
October
thing.
October disappeared.
Yeah. And so it's a lot to be like, to have that kind of decompression. Realize all the things you've done in that month and be like, and now it's time for the holidays. It's a lot.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad that we got the beach as the second half, because there's been a lot of times that I come back from Disney World and I don't feel like I was on a vacation.
Right.
Because you're going all the time. So that sort of secondary beach. Yeah. We went to an escape room. We went grocery shopping. Like, I kind of felt like we lived there, and that's a really cool feeling.
Yeah,
you did a great job finding that Airbnb. Like, that place was amazing.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was like perfect size for all of us, not too much to maintain or deal with, but we had our own pool and
the kitchen helped. That mid kind of hangout area where, I mean, I was sitting on the counter. It was I was very much comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that place. Yeah, and then I disappeared. Matt and I flew home, went to Celine Dion, which was incredible. You know, if you get a chance to see her, you should do it. She puts on a really good show. I have not felt... I mean, maybe that's a lie. It is crazy sometimes whenever you see those, like, divas that you love, and they sound and look just like they're supposed to.
Right.
Like, Lady Gaga is, like, she is... she's not auto-tuned at all. I'm just like, that was Lady Gaga. And I felt the same way about Dolly Parton, where I was just like...
Yeah,
I was like, that. Oh, you're not faking it.
Right.
Oh, that's you. And Celine Dion, too. Like, she was still hitting the notes and acting like she did, but I felt like in 1999, and I was like, good, you are an artist. Like, you deserve my money. Like, you're good. So I was really glad to sort of check that off my list, and now we're here on Halloween.
And it snowed.
And it did snow. Like, what
Which is terrible to come back from the beach to snow. I'll just tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Terrible body shock of like, what is happening? Like, I expected to come home to fall. I was thinking 50s, maybe even 40s. But like, winter weather advisory, I was not prepared for.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's a rough adjustment. Mostly just because like, my feet hadn't fully recovered from being in shoes from Disney. And then to go back and like, not only are you going to put on socks and shoes, but you're going to put on like wool socks and boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll go trick-or-treating tonight, and then tomorrow it'll be November.
It will. We are running towards the holidays. Victor Victoria is in the theater right now. I am involved in that show in a little walk-on role, so it's kind of fun. Church of the Res is in rehearsal right now. It's kind of nice to get back to some sort of normal.
It's true. I mean, we had such abnormal September and October anyhow because of Superstar and our schedules with that. I'm looking forward to like being able to decompress at work, like the work decompress of like, let's wrap up the year and get back into a routine and I can cook dinner at my house again and have like some normalcy. We're in the midst of planning our second of the Drag Queen Story Times.
I saw that. I got invited to
like
that.
Joining us in, on the third Saturday of every month, we had the Halloween one right before we left, and we'll have the Thanksgiving, and then the holiday in December, and kind of gear back up for the next year of starting those off. I don't think we have anything else.
So give me your pow and wow from the whole vacation.
Ooh, whole vacation. Okay. Yeah. Pow was that the bed in All Star Movies was not comfortable at all. My shoulder is still recovering from that sleep. Although on the flip side, the one at the beach house was very good. It was, yes, very, very nice. So I got some recovery before getting, it's like, you know, I was the Princess and the Pea? Was that the bed where it's just like, it was terrible at All Star Movies. It was better at the beach house.
I loved my All Star Movies bed, so that is just.
Yeah, I think I probably would have been okay with it if I hadn't had another human in the bed with me.
Word.
And then the last night where I had Violet and Alex, and then because we were all in one room, and then Riley and Iz in the other bed that were also just very close. Like, I'm not very good at having things around my bed when I sleep.
Yeah.
So then, yes, it was an upgrade to that. And then WoW was just like the amazing ability for all of the humans I love to be in one place on the beach and truly like be with each other in a way that I don't feel like we have been for a while.
Yeah. Riley obviously was just. Whenever we all were down at that beach, you know, the second day when we built sandcastles was amazing for different reasons. But that first day when we all just went and put our feet.
Because my parents and brother were there as well. So I had like my whole family
it was Riley really cool. was missed. She would have been an awesome, like that would have been a nice bow on that.
Yeah. Beach. Over the course of that week, I had everybody with me. Yeah. But I think Riley would be down tonight to celebrate Halloween with us. And then we're barreling towards her 18th birthday. So. I know. That's probably going to be one of the last that we get to spend with her, so, which is crazy.
When she comes back from college, you might get a moment. I'm assuming you guys will get a moment.
Yeah, I'm assuming so as well. And luckily, college breaks are long, so it's not as if, you know, we have to jam everything into, like, high school. She only gets off for, like, a week.
God, it was so fun when everyone was dorky at the same time at that character breakfast. It was so fun whenever, like, you really do sort of, I mean, it could make me cry just how much I love it. When you sort of, like, step back later, and you're, like, in a bathroom peeing, and you get, like, a second to yourself, and you're like, wait, all of us were, like...
With our princesses, too, because that was the thing, is that, like, we each had our princess there, too.
It was so fun. Yeah. Like, where you're just, like, even for a glimmer of a second, almost like you saw Riley, like, believe that was Ariel. Even, it just, for
Well, I had that second. Moment, too, like, when I turned around, I was like, Belle's right there. She's right there.
And that's, that to me, is that magic in that place. Because we're smart enough to be like, you're just going to go clock out later. But inside of that, you're just like, that's fucking Belle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like.
Yeah, for sure.
Tigger is literally, like, bouncing with you, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. And Mickey Mouse is like... giving you a thumbs up, and you're just like, I'm gonna...
Yeah. Sadness was one of my favorites, too, because she was, like, fully in character. So it was fun, like, they...
But isn't that all awesome?
Yeah.
Because that's when I went to go meet Betamax, because, you know, it's what you do. It's called Pink Lemonade, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, which of these two amazing characters am I going to spend my line with?
Yeah, that's true.
Even the character lines weren't too bad. I mean, really, Tigger was the worst one.
Yeah, Tigger or Jasmine, just because we waited for her to return.
Yeah, but Jasmine was cool. I liked Jasmine meeting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my favorite pictures, is like when Violet finally was like, I'm going to go in for the hug. And then Jasmine, like, we caught her at the perfect moment of like, I didn't think I was going to get that from this one. And she like has her hand on her chest, and it's beautiful and adorable.
I mean, can you imagine what it's like to be one of them? Just to continuously over and over and over make people's lives like, not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you literally are like, I am representing Jasmine. Or what is it? I'm friends with Jasmine, you know, and you're like, everyone. Even me, I was just like, you're fucking Jasmine. Like...
Well, and it's a testament to what they do, because for us, specifically, like you, me, Riley, Alex, like, we do this for a living. Mm-hmm. And so, to get that, like, little taste of, like...
It's a glimmer. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. you snap back out of it just mm-hmm. as quickly, but mm-hmm. there's just that, it's that breath, it's that intake where you're just like, there they are. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, that was fun. Because mm-hmm. after I left Merida, I was like, that was fucking mm-hmm. Merida. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a really good, that was a really good character.
Yep.
So, as we like to end every episode, sort of, Courtney, what is a piece of advice you would give yourself today?
Just breathe through the day.
Yeah. Mine is almost to that same thing. I right before I left on vacation, I watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Sure.
Great film. Mm-hmm. And there's a line in it where Rose says to Miss Applegate, what's her name mm-hmm. in the movie? Whatever. Was just like, take each task at a time. Do this. Traject. Mm-hmm. Know that what you kind of got to do later, but just... Mm-hmm. finish this task
sure.
and move on to the next one. And I'm trying to hold on to that. I'm trying to not let stress come back into my mm-hmm. life right now. I'm trying to understand that life is stressful, but that does not necessarily mean that I have to be stressed. Mm-hmm. And that I am truthfully in control of my own emotions. Mm-hmm. Like that is
also accurate.
That's really, but that is not something I practice very well too often. I think I allow other people to
be in control.
Well, to help, affect it. And instead I need to figure out how to maintain a little bit more of that pixie dust and just be like, mm-hmm. hey guys, we get 24 hours, tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. Next week we will jump back in with our couch chats. We are currently just confirming our guest for next week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we will hit the ground running sort of toward the holidays.
Towards the holidays. Mm-hmm.
We will be kind of working on getting sponsorships for this podcast, mm-hmm. so be advised that each episode may begin to be sponsored by someone.
Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. not only does this sort of help us with any costs that come with the podcast, but it also allows us to advertise and promote local businesses, both inside of our neighborhood and around, and hopefully through that we'll kind of get to know maybe some business owners around our own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Our executive director, Evie Craig, and us were discussing yesterday just sort of the idea of not just letting our audiences get to know the actors and performers in town and stuff like that, but just maybe like the guy who owns the Fruitopia, like, how mm-hmm. did you get here? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. just really kind of get to know some of our local celebrities in town in different ways.
Yep.
So tune in next week. Happy Halloween.
Yes, and I'm going to take you out with some Monster Mash.
And we're going to exit. Yeah, get some candy and watch out for those ghouls and goblins out there.
Ghouls and goblins. They're coming for you.
They're coming for you. So thank you all for listening. And this was this week's Couch Chats.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Monster from his lab began to rise, and suddenly